Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us turn our eyes on Jesus this morning. He is with us. We are together with him. Hallelujah. For I'm he, I'm he, wo I'm he, Jesu, wo I'm he, I'm he, wo I'm he, Jesu. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, dear friends. It's so good to be with you again. We are in his presence, and he has promised where two or three gather in his name, there he is in the midst. What do you think Jesus would say to us if we would see him this morning? I believe he would say the same thing to us that he said to his disciples after the resurrection. The disciples were gathered together behind closed doors for fear. Jesus, their Savior, had been killed. And they were afraid they might be the next one. They were afraid of the Jews. But Jesus comes right through the closed door. Nothing could hold him back. Let's turn to John chapter 20 and we'll see what he says three times. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." I believe that's what he's wanting to say to us this morning. Peace be with you. Let me look at verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And then verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." That's his message to us this morning. Peace. Peace to you. Before going to the cross, he told them, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." He makes it very clear that it's in him that we have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, he says. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We may relate to the disciples in our present world of turmoil and unrest and uncertainty. But let us hear our Savior's voice speaking to us, "Peace, be still." He wants to bring us into his presence. He wants us to sit down beside him. And let him whisper into our heart that he himself is our peace. Don't be surprised that in the world we have tribulation. And as Paul told Timothy, his very last letter to Timothy, he said, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So if we know that God didn't give us the spirit of fear, where did it come from? It came from the enemy. And he is filling many hearts all over the world with great fear. But we know who is on the throne. We know that all power has been given unto him. He is the mighty conqueror. And even though everything seems to be upset and in turmoil, he is in control. Now is the time to believe. And he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you alone. I am within you. No matter if you are behind a closed door, I am with you. Nothing can separate us. I have joined you to myself. So to answer the question, what do you think Jesus would say to us this morning? He would say, peace to you. I bring you peace. I am the Prince of Peace. And I have overcome the world. Oh, let us believe him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take a few minutes to let him whisper to us. Peace. Peace be still. Dear Lord Jesus, we welcome you into our midst. We lay down all our burdens at your feet. All the stress, all the strain. We hear your voice. We listen while you whisper, peace be still. We pray that you'll enter every room. You see your little children. We are your lambs. We are the sheep of your pasture. And we invite you into every place. Let the mantle of your peace settle upon us. We thank you that you are the mighty conqueror. And we put our lives completely in your control. No evil shall befall us. No plague come nigh our dwelling. Because we are covered with your precious blood. Pour out your spirit on each one of us. We live if you breathe upon us. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. The Holy Spirit is working these days to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. Jesus told us that no man knows the day or the hour of his return. But even now, Jesus waits for his Father's direction to come for his bride. Who is his bride? Those who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's what Revelation tells us. Those have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, we want to live under the flow of his blood at all times. It's good during these days of the virus that we cover our homes with the blood of Jesus. Just like in Israel, when the death angel was passing through, the blood was on the door. My husband and I remind the Lord that We put his blood on the door of our home. The blood not only protects us, it cleanses us. Oh, to be washed in his blood. It'll make our garments white, without spot or wrinkle. There are many things that can spot our garments. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life, feeling superior to other people, determined to have our own way, become spots on our wedding garment. Oh, will we be ready for our bridegroom? He says, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, hurry up, Martha, hurry up. These are the days of preparation. I've heard of people here in the USA who are preparing supplies for what they think may be difficult days ahead. They're filling their cupboards with more food and other items that they think there may be a shortage of. But a question comes to me. Is the Church of Jesus Christ in earnest to prepare our hearts for the bridegroom? Are we seeking to run after him? To take all the time and energy we have longing to be changed into his image from glory to glory? You know, one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 3:18, by beholding him, we are changed. What are we looking at today? Some people are looking at the news broadcast. Some people are looking to what other people are doing. But we have the call to look unto Jesus, to behold him, and to be changed into the same image as our Lord Jesus from glory to glory. Pastor Chow has asked us to study the humility of Christ. Yes, this is the characteristic Jesus is looking for in his bride-to-be. It's his own likeness. Jesus is the source of all humility. I was reading in the book of John, because Andrew Murray tells us that nowhere is the humility and the inner life Jesus so clear as in the Gospel of John. I'd like to read some of those verses in chapter 5. We have three different verses, and the first one is the Son can do nothing of himself. And then in the same chapter, Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's so different from the human spirit that said, I can do anything. We pass judgment on people very freely. But Jesus said his judgment was based on his not seeking his own will. He was seeking the will of his Father. That's why as we read through the Gospel of John, we see Jesus oftentimes going apart alone to be with his Father. The disciples often, where is he? Where is he? He was with his Father getting instructions on what his Father wanted him to do. He only cared for his Father's opinion. In that same 5th chapter of John, he said, I receive not honor from men. In chapter 6, he tells us, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. How often we do our own will. It's so natural. It's so natural to want to do my own will. You know, God has placed us in the circumstances we're in. If we belong to him, he has placed us in the circumstances we are in. Even if you're a minister and you have a coworker, even if you're a husband and have a wife, or you're a wife that has a husband, or parents that have children, has placed us in the situation we are in. And the more of us that live together, the more wills are involved. Oh, and Jesus is calling us to have this surrendered will. His will was completely yielded to his Father. And how do we practice surrendering our will? We have to surrender to one another. Some things are not that important that we have to fight for our own will. Even when we are in leadership, we need to listen to those who are working with us. So the situation he's placed us each in is an opportunity to surrender our own will, our own idea of what is right and what we should do. The Bible tells us in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And the great lesson we have to learn is to yield our opinions, that when it's a question of who's right and who's wrong. Jesus tells us his whole purpose in coming was not to do his own will, but the will of the Father. If we think we are doing God's will, we need to just be very careful that it's God's will and not our own self-will. I have those lessons yet to learn. And Jesus gives me opportunities. And if I'm willing to surrender, it brings great peace. I have found out God is big enough to get his will done without my forcing it. And that brings peace in our home. Well, going on to chapter 7 of John, two more verses, Jesus says, my teaching is not mine. When we first started teaching together, Pastor Lai Shufan in Taiwan, we used to pray together, oh Jesus, don't let us speak our own words. We didn't want our teaching to be ours. We wanted it to be his words. We had some wonderful times together in Taiwan. I miss her very much. But this week I remembered our praying that way, so I've been praying, Lord, don't let me speak my own words. Also in chapter 7, Jesus says, I have not come of myself. Then we go to chapter 8 of John, and Jesus says, I do nothing of myself. I seek not my own glory. I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Hallelujah. God sent him. Jesus' name is the Word. He spoke God's Word at all times. And the last verse I chose in John's Gospel was chapter 14. It says, the Word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. As we read these verses, we come to realize Humility is the simple consent to let God be all by surrendering self to his working alone. God must work all in all through empty vessels. These vessels realize we have nothing but what we receive as we wait upon him. That's why Pastor Chow's focus has always been wait on the Lord. Get quiet in his presence. Don't start doing and ministering and figuring out how. Get alone with him. That has been the success of ministers all down through the ages, those who wait for God's plan and will alone with him. We must continue to be poor and hungry before the Lord. You remember Jesus' first sermon, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger. Oh, to be more hungry for Jesus. We can ask him, make me hungry. Make me hungry. And then get alone with him and watch him help you to love him more. We will realize how poor we are. We must never feel we know how or that we can do it on our own. Instead, we're called to come down low at the feet of Jesus and allow him be the one who meets the need. He wants to be the one. He wants to be the burden bearer. That's why he says, come unto me. You're so heavy laden trying to carry it all yourself. Take my yoke on you and you'll find rest. Let me be the one who carries you, the one who meets every need, not only your own need, but the need of others. Last night we were praying together with dear Jeff and Jenny, and we see our great need for the Holy Spirit to enter every room where you are and speak to your hearts himself. We are to present ourselves to him the way he presented himself to the Father. He was an empty vessel. You know, for 30 years, we don't even know anything much about Jesus except when he was 12. He was an empty vessel. And when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, he became filled with the Spirit of God. And the only way we can be filled with his Spirit is to allow him to empty us of ourselves. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. He wants to fill us with his own humility. He desires to live out his life within us. And that's a life of humility. Just yesterday, I realized those 30 years that Jesus was seldom heard of were his preparation. You know, he only ministered 3.5 years. I thought, isn't that something? That's, he was in a place for 30 years, 10 times as long as he ministered. He knew his time had not come. He was to be subject to his parents. And if we would only think of that, 10 times more than when he was in public ministry. Oh, how the Lord would like us to spend time alone with him, to receive instructions from him, just as he received the instructions from his father to know his father's will. I think I've spoken to you about this before, but in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, there are a few words where we learn about Jesus going alone with his father. Luke 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 13, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew. You want to read 14, 15, and 16? All night long, Jesus was praying before he chose the 12 disciples. They weren't even choices of his own. Who would ever choose Judas in their own? Especially, I want you to notice that he continued all night in prayer. And then if we turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 21. Well, this is the story of Jesus going into the synagogue. Would you want to read 21, 22, 23? And the man was delivered. I don't know how far to read. Maybe through 28. Well, I was struck with that. Immediately his fame spread throughout all the region. And then he goes to Peter's home. And he heals Peter's wife's mother. And verse 32, at evening when the sun had set, you read that 32 and 34. This is a success. Many were healed. Many demons cast out. But verse 35 tells us, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Why, it had been a day of great success. But Jesus went to be alone with his father, and the disciples were looking for him. Not only the disciples, but everyone was looking for him. And Jesus says in verse 38, this is a very important verse, let us go into the next town that I may preach there, because for this purpose I've come. Jesus knew when to leave. Not only where to go, but when to leave. I've heard of a minister that had a great success in a ministry in California, and many people were coming to the wonderful light of the indwelling Christ. But the Lord spoke and said she was to close that ministry and return to her home. She obeyed immediately. I had the privilege to meet her when I was a young teenager. She was an obedient servant of the Lord. She knew when to obey. Now, naturally speaking, we would have said, we're having a great success. Everything is going well. People are hungry for God. They want me to stay. If you have been reading Andrew Murray's book on humility, as Pastor Chow has suggested to all the leaders, you would be surprised that this dear servant of God prayed over every sentence in that book. I was only 14 when I met her. She was filled with the peace and the love of God that impressed me for my life. She walked with God. She knew when to go and when to leave. To be obedient, as Jesus was. Now we go back to our book of John, chapter 6. John 6:15. When Jesus, they were talking about, this is after he feeds the 5,000. Yes, there are 12 baskets. There's 12 baskets left over. That's amazing. One for each of the disciples. Verse 14, that made an impression on people. You want to read 14? Now 15. Here's our Lord Jesus. They want to make him king. The devil wanted to do that on the mountain of transfiguration. He said, I'll give you all this. You'll be king. You'll be the one. That was not God's way. And neither is it his way in this verse. Jesus departs to the mountain alone. Oh, Jesus, you're so wonderful. Now, let's turn to chapter 7. This is when his brothers tried to convince him to go up to Jerusalem and let everybody see. But Jesus said, the time has not yet come. Your time is always ready. That means in the natural, we're always ready. We're always ready to publicize or to make ourselves known. But Jesus said, my time has not yet come. Because he's following the will of his Father at every step. There's another one I'll end with in John chapter 11. This is, chapter 11 is that beautiful story of the great miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. You remember his dear friend Mary and Martha, they asked Jesus, come, my brother's sick. Jesus stayed where he was. He didn't come. He didn't come. And the disciples thought, oh, it's because they may arrest him. He was afraid. But that wasn't the case. He didn't go because it wasn't God's time. And you know the story. When he got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. But Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. I've heard it said that if he didn't call him by name, all of those would have come out of the grave. That was the great moment. But if we go down to verse 54 in that chapter, would you read it, Xichen? What would you do if you had raised somebody from the dead? Wouldn't you start a whole new program? I read about this little city, Ephraim. It's really a village, and it's far out near the wilderness. And Jesus goes there to be alone with his disciples. You know what was coming? The Passover and the cross was pending. And that was what Jesus knew to do. Because he wanted to be alone with his Father. He wanted to be alone with his disciples. So thought, how well it is to remember to be led by his Spirit, like he was led by his Father's Spirit. His Father led him each step of the way. Self always knows how to do it, always can do it, and feels capable, as Peter did. But when God opens our eyes to see ourselves as we really are, then we're ready to abhor self and repent in dust and ashes. These are the most profitable times in our life when we see our need of God. We accept our nothingness and let God be the one who is all and in all. The Lord Jesus was that great empty vessel that God filled and used for his glory. And that's what the Holy Spirit is looking for today. Those will be empty vessels that he may fill with the same Spirit that possessed Jesus. You know what Paul tells us in Romans? If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. What is the Spirit that possessed Christ at every turn? It was his humility. He sought only to be an empty vessel that God could use to work out his plan of redemption. My husband is so fond of that verse in John 14:6 that says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He loves that verse. Well, during these last few weeks, that has become very real to me to say, Jesus is the way to obtain humility. Jesus is the truth of what humility is like that pleases the Father. Jesus is the life of humility that waits to indwell us. Shall we not look up in faith to God and thank him for providing a way of escape from the power of pride and self-righteousness? He's the one who desires to free us from all self-exaltation. Let us find once again our place at the feet of his cross and plead with us to do for us what he did for Peter and for Paul and for other saints of God. We need to spend time alone with him to ask him to show us our need to come down low at his feet. Even though we may have taught others, there's always the need to examine ourselves in the light of his presence and see if our attitudes, our demands, our words, our judgments are pleasing in his sight. Now is the time to draw near to the Lord and partake of his nature in these days of uncertainty and trial. He is working to prepare a bride that is suitable for him, a beloved, meek, and lowly Lamb of God. Come apart and rest in his presence, that he may speak to you of his great desire to fill you with his Spirit and cause you to focus only on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He is here to set us free. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We have a special treat today. Our sister Mercy is going to share with us how the Lord has spoken to her about our need for humility. Dear Mercy.
I thank the Lord. I truly sense that what Sister Martha preached today are the words that I need. I look at myself as that Peter, that I often think I can do this and I can do that. Whenever people ask me whatever question, as if I can answer them just quickly. Gradually, I realize that this all comes out of my self-righteousness. Yesterday, when I was informed to give a testimony today, I was seeking the Lord. What kind of testimony should I give? And in my mind, flashes of this testimony and that testimony just came through, just passed by. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what kind of testimony? What testimony should I give? What kind of testimony can help, can edify others? What kind of testimony can truly reflect the outflowing of the indwelling Christ that can touch hearts? And I, as if I heard Jesus told me, this is not your business. This is what the Lord himself will do. And what you should focus on is that you will love Jesus more. You will long for him. You will spend more time with him. Because the way that touches people's life is not what a human flesh can do. It's all the work of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, as I waited upon the Lord, there was this longing in me that I just want more of Jesus. I just want more of him. And I said to the Lord, Lord, that is the need. Not that I can give a great testimony. No, you are the one I need. Because, Lord, everything is done by you. If you move me, if you want me to say certain things, I will say what you want me to say. And that dialogue I had with the Lord really moved me greatly. I realized I cannot add an ounce of humility to myself. The only thing I can do is to crave for more of Jesus and to surrender myself more to him. And you will take care of the rest. So this morning, I truly sense that the words are from you toward me. That what you have taught this morning, Lord, I can do nothing. It's all you. Give you an example. Last night, before we went to bed, I thought I have something to say to my husband. But he was busy on certain things, so he didn't want to listen. And according to my natural man, in the past, I would just burst out and I would be mad because I was not respected. But suddenly, at that very moment, there is this voice in me just prompting me just to want more of Jesus and seek more of Jesus. So lying on my bed, I just keep meditating and commune with the Lord and hunger and thirst for more of him. And I just said to him, Lord, you are in me. You are in me. I have no doubt of that. And right at the moment, the peace just flooded my heart. You know, the natural reaction I used to have just dissipated. It was gone. And I was filled with peace. And then I fell asleep in the peace of God. So what I want to say here is that I need the Lord. I desperately need the Lord. Lately, we have a group of people. We participate in this Pray for America prayer, 24 hours prayer. And in the past, I use my word quickly when I pray, as if something prompted me, then I just pray quickly. But lately, the Spirit is teaching me that I do not just pray promptly, as if whatever comes to my mind. But instead, those thoughts, those prompting in my heart, I need to bring them before the Lord and before his word, and allowing him to put them together, to sort them out. Then I realize how much of the prayer I used to pray were out of my own will. So I began to learn, Lord, I don't want to pray my own prayer or according to my own will. Even sometimes I thought my prayer quite biblical. But I knew now that even though however biblical it is, I need the Lord to search the source, the motivation, and where is this coming from, to present all these before the Lord first. So as the Spirit taught me this way, then I try to learn, even though to begin with it's not that natural or easy to me, because I'm so used to being able to do things. But I thank the Lord. I sense that the only thing I can do is the willingness to learn. And the Lord, in His faithfulness, sent His Spirit to teach me. And then more and more, I sense that many things I used to pray, are not in line with the mind of Christ. Even some of the prayer I used to pray are direct quote from the Bible, but the source, the motivation, was not righteous before the Lord. And the mindset is different. And I cried out to Him, Lord, You are the searcher of my heart. And in this light, and I sensed that my mind began to be changed, be renewed, to be more like Jesus' mind. Even just a little bit improvement, but I was very happy. Because I knew it pleases the Lord that we make progress, even little step like that. And so I'm thankful to the Lord. And in this intercession ministry, one book we often read is the Humility by Andrew Murray. Because I knew in my heart those prayer, those intercession which comes out of me, I have no assurance whether it will come to pass or not. But whatever prayer, those words comes from You directly, it will come to pass. So I pray that through this intercession ministry that I can be transformed, that I can be changed, and our church can be changed, and even our nation can be changed. Thank the Lord. That's what I want to share with you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You. Thank You, Sister Mercy. The tests of eternity are in our homes, in our relationships with one another. And God has placed us where we are, with the people we live with, the people we work with. And He is giving us opportunities through those situations to find Him. Not that we are superior to them. We work against each other. We work for each other. He gives us opportunities to deny self. What a wonderful testimony that Jesus held Mercy's tongue and saved a argument. That's where He wants to have complete control of us. The church I attend has been studying about heaven. And people like that verse that says, when we see Him, we're going to be changed into His image. We don't realize Jesus wants to change us now. If we are willing, we come to the place by beholding Him, we're changed. As Paul said, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. He is offering for each one of us to be more like Jesus. We change from day to day, from glory to glory. Allow Him to make the change. And as Mercy said, falling in love with Jesus is a wonderful secret. That Holy Ghost friendship makes you so you don't want to have your own will. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Jen, will you lead us? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. I see our time is closed, but we will come back together. And then in the meantime, get alone with Jesus. Let him whisper his peace to you. Goodbye.